The one Malaysia Development Berhad scandal in Malaysia is widening. There is a sovereign wealth fund, or this is a sovereign wealth fund set up for the benefit of the Malaysian nation. Reports that money has been siphoned off the fund for the benefit of the current Malaysian Prime Minister and his cronies surfaced in the last year. There is now action being taken by the US Department of Justice to seize properties laundered through the US. More than $1 billion US dollars is alleged to have been involved in what is one of the world's largest corruption scandals, threatening to bring down Prime Minister Najib Razak. Vincent Su asked Meredith Wise, Professor of Political Science at the University of Albany in New York State, how this scandal came about.
1MDB is One Malaysian Development Berhad, which is a state investment instrument. Basically, the goal of 1MDB was to pursue targeted investments on behalf of the Malaysian state. However, in the guise of pursuing investments in connection with, as I understand it, Saudi and other firms, also state-connected, 1MDB's leadership, which included Prime Minister Najib, siphoned off funds that were intended for these joint investments instead into his personal funds and perhaps other funds, funds that were supposed to be put in investment funds on behalf of the 1MDB, instead ended up in political or personal funds. A certain proportion of that, about $681 million, Prime Minister Najib claimed, because they arrived in one tranche into his account, were a gift from first the Saudi government and then from a high-placed person, a member of the Saudi royal family. That wasn't quite denied, but it also wasn't expressly supported. And now they're saying that about $1 billion total came from the Saudis. That line about the Saudis has never carried much water in Malaysia, at least among those who have been following the saga. Now a recent expose by the U.S. Department of Justice and their anti-kleptocracy initiative suggests that that line is actually completely manufactured.
So the fund was designed to help the Malaysian people, that is now not going towards them. Just how severe is this scandal?
This is by far the largest corruption scandal or money laundering scandal ever in Malaysian history, and it's considered to be one of the largest, if not the largest, in global history. So it's quite a first for Malaysia, not the best sort of first. And it does have implications in as much as those funds could be used for a lot of other things. This U.S. investigation, the asset seizure under CARI, the Kleptocracy Asset Recovery Initiative, if I remember correctly, does aim to return the seized assets to the people of Malaysia as the rightful beneficiaries. However, it's not clear how that would happen or when that would happen or whether that can happen, and that's only a fraction of what's actually at stake.
So no one in Malaysia has been charged over this?
Not really. There have been some journalists who have been investigated for reporting, and there have been shifts of personnel across different levels of the Malaysian government away from the corruption investigation toward the cabinet. There have also been members of the opposition or of civil society who have been charged with sedition and related charges for revealing information related to 1MDB, for making statements regarding 1MDB, or for calling in various ways for accountability from the state. But so far as I know, no one from within the government itself has been prosecuted. The investigation has not been pursued with any sort of real rigor.
You mentioned earlier that the Department of Justice there is beginning civil action to seize a few properties overseas. So what exactly are these properties? Are they wholly within the US or are they around the globe?
I think the ones that they are seizing are global, but my understanding, which is not perfect, my understanding is that the US initiative can only go after transactions that involve the US directly. So I did hear that they had asked, I think, the Swiss to seize, I think it was a painting that was amongst the assets named. But I think most of the assets are in the US. A lot of them seem to be real property, like homes in New York and California. Others are the proceeds, the royalties from The Wolf of Wall Street, because Riza Aziz's Red Granite Productions was amongst the organizations that was involved in purportedly laundering funds, as well as earnings from EMI, which is a recording company, So a lot of them, certainly the majority, do appear to be in the US, but I think some of the movable assets are actually currently held overseas.
So under what laws are the US seizing these properties under? I've heard that they're using the same laws as they cracked FIFA down under.
That's what I've heard as well. And it's my understanding is that these laws have been used very selectively only a few times, and this is the largest case yet. But it's something, it's a program called the Kleptocracy Asset Recovery Initiative. And it's specifically for going after these cases of state-led money laundering and corruption. And the issue is, the reason that the U.S. is able to do this is that the individuals involved either were based in or residents or citizens of or working in the United States at the time, and that the assets involved were purchased in or traveled through the United States. My understanding is that Najib himself is not named in this complaint. He's Malaysian Official 1, and Malaysian Official 1 is defined in a way that can only equal Najib.
Why is the Department of Justice interested in intervening in other countries' affairs? Is it because of the size of this scandal?
I don't think it's so much the size, though I'm sure that that certainly adds impetus to the investigation. I think it's for the same reason that, for instance, Singapore has likewise seized somewhere around $250 million U.S. dollars of Malaysian assets and forced the closure of a bank there. Countries that specialize in financial services and that have active real estate markets and everything else really don't want to be known as havens for money laundering. And so in many ways, this impugns the integrity of our own financial systems, whether it be in the U.S., whether it be in Singapore, whether it be in Switzerland, whether it be in Australia, which has also pursued some investigations. And on the other hand, this also allows a degree of leverage for those who are seeking to press claims against kleptocrats, to use the term that the U.S. has used, who otherwise lack the wherewithal, just because it's difficult to do that from within the country involved. I think the former is probably the larger goal than the latter, simply because it's not, the U.S. will be guided, like any country, primarily by its own self-interest. And it's not in the U.S. self-interest to attack an ally, which is, of course, how the Malaysian government is likely to read this. And Malaysia is a close ally of the United States. I think it's really a question of the fact that there are global standards and global covenants regarding money laundering, the use of financial services, proper auditing tactics, and everything else.
And finally, to what extent has this scandal damaged the Malaysian economy? And have investors been a bit more uneasy about Malaysia?
That's actually a surprisingly difficult question to answer. Initially, the claims that the Malaysian economy would be badly hurt came simply from revelation of the bad debt that 1MDB had, because a lot of this really emerged with discussions of the fact that 1MDB lacked the liquid assets with which to cover its debts. And so questions of possible defaults as its relationships seem to be fraying with its joint partners, as well as just its lack of actual concrete holdings, despite the amount of money that had been pumped in, started to raise some of the questions. In the initial claims that the massive possibly defaulted upon debt would tank the Malaysian economy were probably overblown. The Malaysian economy has been in rather bad shape. The ringgit has been seemingly just mired at really low levels, not seen since the 1997 financial crisis.
That's local currency, right?
Yes, I'm sorry, yes. And so it's hovering around 4 ringgit to the dollar, which is low. But the problem in trying to suss out what's 1MDB and what is something else is that this is at the same time that a lot of countries are going through financial problems. So between issues with the Chinese market and its currency, the Malaysian and Chinese economies are also closely tied with Brexit and so forth, make it really quite difficult to determine what precisely is 1MDB and a lack of investor confidence due to that, and what is other factors such as just diminished investment overall, particularly since Malaysia is middle income, not going to attract the same sorts of investments it did at one point. But there have been some at least anecdotal claims that investment has declined.
Meredith Weiss, Professor of Political Science at the University of Albany, ending that report with Vincent Su.